This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Rehappa podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé's The Other Way, Season 5, Episode 4, aka let's just put all 6 couples on the episode. That'll go over really well. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Pia Zambichilli, ready to break things down once more. And with me today is no stranger to the podcast, making first appearance on Talking The Other Way here with me. It is the incredible Jason Reed, the AKA, I will only have pepperonis on my pizza. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good. I feel like we have to get into that story. Maybe just kick things off. And my side of this pizza gate, as I'm going to call it.
Okay. Oh, of course, as one would.
To cause me to take so many strays after this whole debacle came through. So, yeah, like, I myself at the time am recording a podcast, right? I get this message from Puya that says, what kind of pizza do you like? A random, no pretense, no nothing. Just what kind of pizza do you like?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, huh, that's an interesting question from Puya. Maybe Puya just wants to get to know me more.
It's a friend taking an interest in their friend. Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's what I thought, right? So I'm just like, okay. what place do you like to get pizza from? What toppings do you like? Nothing like that. Just like, what? No. Okay. The exact wording. What's your go-to pizza? Okay. I say, if we're talking delivery, Papa John's, extra sauce, I forget the topping altogether. I don't know why I forgot the toppings. So I don't understand why you just thought it was cheese, extra sauce. So I said, you know, you were like, so just extra sauce? I said, no, pepperoni. I'm basic. You go, ooh, okay. So, and you did say, like, after the first message, you said, it's for a podcast, so please answer ASAP. I was like, okay, it's for a podcast? What? And so, like, not long after that, down the road, I get a message from my co-host of the Perfect Match podcast, where we talk about Married at First Sight, Asia Welch, just out of the blue, a text message. Papa John's extra sauce, question mark? So I'm like, wait a minute. I'm now putting two and two together that somehow you and Asia start talking about me and my pizza choices on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast. It was really disorienting for me. I had no idea what was going on. And then I hear the podcast where you guys, you know, trash my choices for pizza.
No, that was all Asia. Don't put it on my mouth. Don't put it on my mouth.
Syntax of sending messages where I inadvertently put LOL. I bracketed the message with LOL, which I actually saw after I sent the message. I was like, oh, that's dumb. And then later I hear on the podcast that you were trashing my syntax of texting. So it was quite a ride on this Pizzagate journey.
Yeah, it was just shocking. I would have expected more toppings, but then
it's like I said, I'm basic, man. I'm a very picky eater. As Asia said on the podcast, I'm a very picky eater. I am a pepperoni only guy. You know, that's just how I am. Don't hate.
Listen, there's plenty of hate to be directed at these
that's what we watch couples. The show for Puya.
Yeah, no hate people. On the guests,
that's why we're here, to hate the people. Let's divert the attention from me to these toxic weirdos on this TV show. That's where the hate belongs. Let's put it where it belongs.
Well, let's get it going then, shall we? Let's open up the gates here and talk about a couple that I truly didn't expect to be the marquee couple here, the main couple of the episode, but alas, it's time to talk about Julio and Kirsten, first and foremost. They, with six couples here, Julio and Kirsten got the bulk of the content this week. And go ahead.
Yeah, they are the most boring couple I think I've ever seen on 90 Day Fiancé that really has no real problems as far as I can see yet. They didn't.
For three episodes, it was like, oh, they seem completely fine. They seem completely easy to talk about. But here we are now. We're in the thick of it. Kirsten is in the U.S., obviously, visiting with Julio, you know, on the heels of them moving to the Netherlands altogether in about 3 months. And what we learn and what causes all of the issues is that Julio has not told his family about Kirsten until about 3 weeks ago. So they've been dating for a year. The family's none the wiser. They think it's been 3 weeks, or they've only known for 3 weeks. And he's springing on them that he's moving. And he has the added information of knowing that my family's really close. We're all together. We're kind of attached. And me leaving makes no sense to them because they just imagine I would always be here. And he's waiting until Kirsten's here. First time impression, they're meeting Kirsten, and he's dumping on them that he's going to move. And Kirsten pretty much looks like the bad guy, the evil that's moving, that's pulling Julio away from us, because Julio clearly doesn't want to leave, even though it's Julio's idea that he wants to leave.
He is so sneaky and conniving.
Yes.
Because he's throwing Kirsten under the bus immediately. Now, every time a family member thinks of Julio's girlfriend, Kirsten, they're just going to think, oh yeah, Kirsten was the one that introduced me to the fact that Julio was moving away from me. That's what they will forever associate Kirsten with, is the taking of their relative. That's not how you're supposed to like introduce your significant others to your family. Like, oh, hey, this is my significant other. She's the reason I'm leaving you forever. Goodbye. That's not how you're supposed to do that.
It's awful. Like, do you not care about what they think of your significant other? Because they're going to pass judgment. It's going to happen. And forget that for a second. Your significant other doesn't want to come off like the villain, and you've put her in this impossible spot where she's the bad guy. And generally, like you just said, they're probably the most boring couple. Kirsten's one of the just most normal people we've had on. So to me, it's like the idea that you're making this normal person seem like the bad person here is ridiculous. And honestly, that wasn't even the weirdest part of this entire interaction with them, because when they went to the family gathering, it was like a barbecue cookout type scenario. There were dominoes out, there were cousins out, there was a hookah sitting there, shisha. It was great times, great vibes. And on the way there, he's like, I'm gonna need you to be a little louder, a little more talkative. You need to do that. And she's like, well, I'm usually quiet and laid back. I'm not gonna just suddenly change that. And
yeah, be yourself, but speak louder, which is like the first word of advice I got from, you know, starting podcasting. Be yourself, but just speak louder into a microphone.
Exactly.
And you know, on the way to the party, right, they come out of the house. He's like, hey, check out this quirky,
oh my God,
detail of my house. It's where a bullet came into our house, fired from a gun. And Kirsten, rightfully so, is freaked out because she is from the Netherlands, where, you know, not a ton of gun violence. And she's like, oh, is this America? Yes, Kirsten. Unfortunately, this is America. I just feel like Charles Gambino's like, this is America. Just be like played on the backdrop of this, of this whole scene, of all their scenes. Because everything that she's been told about America from Julio, who later in this episode will like broach the topic of her moving to America, he's not doing anything to really calm her of moving into America. She's like, oh, yeah, we just get bullets randomly fired into our houses. Like, you want to come move here?
Yeah, not a good endorsement on the way to the family outing, where the family's going to ask you, hey, So typically with us, you know, the women follow the man in the relationship. So why aren't you considering moving here? Because your lovely cousin here showed me a bullet hole before we got here and said, isn't it wild that my mom was in the kitchen like 15 minutes later? Like, she could have been in the kitchen when this happened. What are you doing?
If I didn't know any better, I would say for some twisted, bizarre reason, Julio is doing this to break up with her in a way, like to really kind of scare her away.
It feels that way.
Yeah. If like, this is a very like intensive way to do that. I think maybe just like a call to say like, you know, I don't think we should be together anymore might be the thing.
Yeah. I feel like here's what happened. He soft launched the idea of moving with his mom after they hung out with Kirsten the other night. Mom clearly was not about it. I think that put doubts in Julio's mind. And instead of being a grown up and talking about it, I feel like he's kind of doing the opposite, where it's like, if she says we should take time, I'm like, okay, we can. Because I think in this case, like, I can still save this relationship after, but putting it on snooze might be best right now.
Yeah, Julio's as bad as Christian on the other show. Just easily just kind of plied by their relatives, like, hey, don't you think this is a good thing? Oh, hey, I was just told by my relative this is a thing, so how about that, huh? So I think maybe he's thinking, if I can convince her to move here, that'd be cool. If not, maybe I just don't want to move to the Netherlands at all. So maybe that'll be just, I'll just have to call it quits if she doesn't agree to come over here.
I can't with Julio. Like, his stock has plummeted so much for me in just this episode.
I mean, he was never really in good favor with me in the first place. Like, he didn't do anything terrible before this. He just,
right, he was neutral.
He was very neutral. He just wasn't really making an impression on me at all. And now he's really just making a pretty bad impression on me at this point.
I 100% agree. Because to me, I was like, okay, maybe he's not talking to his mom about it yet, because his mom's going to like take it to heart or whatever. But if I'm Kirsten and I find out we've been dating for a year and you have not shared me with your mom or the rest of your family and friends pretty much until 3 weeks ago, yeah, I think you're either ashamed or you haven't been as invested in this relationship or you're not as serious, which is not a good place to be at all. Because when she gets to this function, they're like, yeah, you know, we learned about you 3 weeks ago. And she's like, oh, you didn't. So you didn't know we were dating for a year then? No, we had no idea.
And I mean, you know, if the family doesn't know, he's probably also not made it like, you know, social media official, because no. If he did, you would think they knew that too. Like, I mean, obviously he's keeping you a secret. I don't think I would even come over there if it's like, why haven't you like put me on all your socials? Why am I not more visible? Why haven't I, you know, FaceTimed with any of your relatives at all? I think that'd be a good move. That'd be my questions. Like, I feel like you're maybe not telling people about me. Is that accurate? So I wouldn't have even come over here if I didn't have any assurances about like, your family knows like who I am. They know that I'm going to come over there. You're going to come back with me at some point. I think Kirsten failed in not doing her, her pre-duty to make sure that this is all on the up and up.
Yeah. And I feel like to me, I'm in a situation where my long distance relationship that is now no longer long distance, we started off being not on social media, like keeping it a secret. But when you do that, you have that conversation, because you typically one part of the relationship like, huh, why are we not on socials about this? And the other person will say, you know, a b c d x y z reason, whatever, and you're like, okay, I get it, or I don't get it, can we figure something out? But this is wild to me, because clearly Kirsten had landed here, because when we saw last week when she met his mom, she clearly felt like, well, how did your mom not know about me? I feel like, you know, you were in the kitchen one time and she came in. He's like, yeah, I held the camera like this so she couldn't see you. I was like,
red flag.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's a huge red flag. So he's not talked about this with her. So she fully expected to come here and be a known entity. And they'd be like, oh yeah, we've heard all of this. We remember, like, tell us more about this trip. No idea. No idea at all. Even his family were in complete, like the rest of his family were in complete shock that, he had not said anything about moving. So that's going to be an issue. Later, they go to a Halloween party, which this is the preview we saw last week. So they go to this Halloween party and she's telling us on the way there in confessional that everything on this trip's been awful so far. I don't get why he hid me from his family. It doesn't make any sense to me. and she's just hiding her emotions for right now. And then she meets Vincent,
who for some reason his name is actually Vicente, but for some reason right. Vincent seems to be quite a trend with Julio, who he doesn't, he wants to be Julio. He's
sorry, Julio, Vincent, please.
Instead of yeah. Vicente. Like, Julio's got some issues, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. But Vincent, when we had met him the first time, I was like, oh, he seems nice. Again, very neutral, no opinion. But then Vincent, I feel like almost accidentally starts a whole bit of drama, Julio said, hey, can you ask this? Because yes. I want to kind of like get there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you could almost, like, in my mind, I could almost see Julio like mouthing the words as Vincent like comes up with this whole premise of possibly living apart when Julio gets over to the Netherlands. Like, I can almost see him holding up the cue cards for Vincent as he's like saying the words that Julio got him to say. That's what I feel.
It just makes no sense to me, Jason, because what happens is Vincent says, well, yeah, the two of you are going to be, you know, the 2 months you lived together, was it good? And she's like, you know, it was good, but like every couple, there were fights. We argued about some little stuff, you know, so a little bit of cleaning. Maybe I missed the spot, something like that. And not that big a deal. We figure it out. And then Vincent was like, well, how about, you know, moving in together is a lot. So what if you move? He moves there, but then he gets his own place. And then, you know, the two of you, it's like, oh, it's a lot more normal if, oh, yeah, my boyfriend lives 20 minutes away. Right. Like, that's normal. And in my head, I'm like, Vincent, have you ever dated anybody? Because when you've been together a year or so and you move to their town, it means you're moving under the same roof at that point.
Because you would think that Julio being new to the Netherlands for the most part, he spent like, what, 2 months there or whatever. He would have like the comfort of being with someone in their space that can show him around, that can like help him out in this new town. Not you move over there, I'll move over here, and I'll talk to you every now and then. And I mean, Kirsten has every right to act the way she acts. She's like, what are you talking? Like, this is not, this is basically a backstep in their relationship, right? Because they're so committed. They've talked about moving in together. And at the point where just one stray comment from Vincent makes you go, huh, you know what, maybe we should move apart, that's another red flag,
huge right red flag. One comment, it wasn't like they had like a discussion before, it really was out of nowhere. All Vincent said was, what if you lived separate? And Julio's like, oh my god, that's a genius idea. Yeah, babe, what do you think about that? And she's like, that makes no sense, because we've, you know, that was never our plans. Why would we need that? Oh, you know, in case one of us needs privacy. For what? Privacy for what, Julio?
Privacy to go out with other women? Is that what you're talking about? The privacy to go out with other dates? Like, is that what your privacy you're needing? What privacy? What are you talking about? We lived in a hotel room together for 2 months. I feel like we've seen every part of each other we need to see. What privacy do you need?
Yeah, like if you need your own space, you could most certainly talk about, I mean, I don't think we've seen the inside of Kirsten's apartment like at length, but if it's like a smaller apartment, you can talk about getting a bigger apartment where maybe there's like a, you know, more room for like, for example, in my apartment, we have a room. I have a room dedicated to my space for streaming, podcasting, all of that. I have a room. That's my room. So like that we can talk about, but the way he phrased it was so sketchy. She says that she feels like he's gaslighting her. And I do feel that way as well. I feel like the attempt here is, again, to make her seem like she's being ridiculous or she pulls away completely. And I feel like he'd be very okay with that.
Or to put in her mind, they fight so much that them living together isn't going to work. And from her side, she's like, I mean, we pretty much like fight like any normal couple. Like we have little squabbles, but it's not like we are this toxic couple that needs to split up like a, you know, a TJ and Kimberly. It's not like we're that kind of couple that needs to be separated. We just have little dumb little fights like most couples do. Like, I feel like he's trying to incept in her that they have bigger problems than they actually do.
Right. I agree with that as well. She does tell us that she feels like she's seeing a side to Julio that she hadn't before, and she doesn't like this side to him. And I 100% agree with her. Now, in the next time on with these two, we do see a conversation about how Julio may not be confident about moving in together. Julio, you're trash. I'm sorry. You are. She came all the way to the States just for you to pull this stuff. Get out. And maybe next time, process and handle your business yourself so that you don't throw poor Kirsten into it when you realize that, oh, I'm not ready to like fly out the nest yet.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, throughout this whole episode, and I feel like even the episodes prior, everyone's kind of like warning Kirsten away from Julio. Like the last episode, like his mom's like, it's like, oh yeah, he's very like dishonest. Like she said it in another language, but we got the gist. And like as they sit down with Vincent, they're like, oh yeah, you live with this guy and you still want to go live with him? Like everyone's kind of telling her that he's trash and she's just not listening.
Exactly. All right, let's just move right on over then and talk about a couple that we saw very little of. And quite frankly, I'm happy about that. And if anything, Wayne would describe this amount of content, the very little, as pretty modest. So yeah. The good thing is a modest amount of content here for Holly and Wayne. My God, Jason, my head nearly exploded. Because it was one scene, one entire scene. The whole scene centers around, hi, I'm Wayne, and I would like for Holly to dress more modestly. So we're going to go shopping so that Holly gets some modest clothing. There are two things, key things here to distinguish. One of the things is that Wayne says that, you know, in his culture where he is, dressing modestly is important. And, you know, as someone who comes from a Middle Eastern background, I've definitely seen culture influence clothing where not wearing too revealing or not wearing too little is very much celebrated and practiced, and wearing little might have not negative connotation, but might not be treated as well. That I can understand because obviously cultural differences come into play. What I cannot understand is the way Wayne is going about trying to explain this, because Wayne essentially makes it seem like she is the worst for dressing the way she does.
Yeah, I mean, he hides behind the fact that South Africa is a dangerous place.
I think the key word is hiding behind the fact.
Which, yes, is true. But what also can't be true at the same time is Wayne is, I don't know if the word is insecure or he doesn't like the idea of other men looking at his woman.
I think it's both insecurity and jealousy. The jealous type.
Yeah, so I mean, both things can be true, right? Africa can be very dangerous for women, and then also he's very insecure and jealous of other people looking at his woman, because he, you know, looks at her as property and as a person to be owned, which, you know, is very problematic in and of itself. And like you said, the way that he goes about this is just the totally wrong way. I mean, whenever the word prostitute gets brought into this, you know you've gone astray. You know you've turned down the wrong corner, my guy. What are you even doing?
Yeah, to me, that's the big thing that I'm not willing to excuse here, because I think it's mostly to do with him. And he's, you know, citing the cultural differences to back the message, which, again, I've come from a very conservative region in the world where it's very much the case. But what I will not stand for is literally saying, yeah, when you dress like this, they might think you're single, which I'm like, okay, cool. Or a prostitute. And I was like, whoa, yeah. Those are not the same, man.
Those are fighting words, my friend. Like, whenever you're talking about your significant other, those words probably should just not be brought into it whatsoever.
Never. And, you know, the way he phrased it was other people may think blank and blank. So it's not like he said, I think you look blank and blank, but he might as well have.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any better when you use the qualifiers like other, not me, other people might think
you're the worst. Like, yeah. And you do this.
Other people might think you're selling your body, not me, just other people that are not me for sure.
Yeah, and the negative connotation, which to the way he said it, combine that on the top, on top of the fact that, Holly's now going through it. Also, there was a moment where he went through the clothes she had picked out and was thinking of using. And he kept saying, nope, not this one, not this one. And you can hear Holly's mom in the background saying, no, Wayne, I want her to try that, Wayne.
It was like he's on some like makeover show and he's like the fashion consultant. And he's like, nope, not this, not this, not this. She's like, the sales lady's like, all right, so whatever you don't like, just put over here. And he proceeds to grab pretty much every single item of clothing that Holly picked out and just moves it over to the other side. Like, nope, not this, not this, not this. It's problematic. I mean, and Holly, for her part, you know, I don't know if she really gets what's going on, because she could. She comes out in a dress that's way shorter than anything else that she showed up in. She's like, do you understand what Wayne's trying to do here? Like, you're just pissing him off even more. It was seriously a comedy of errors, this whole segment. just everyone putting foots in mouths and, you know, no one really, really speaking the way that they should to each other.
Absolutely horrible. Yeah. And then we also don't see them on the next time on. So enjoy the bye week, Holly and Wayne, because we're not going to see you. So
yeah, Holly is really interesting. Holly is I don't know what's going on with Holly, but she's definitely a unique person.
I feel like Holly would be incredible on The Single Life.
Oh, if for
we
sure.
get there. Yeah. She's good casting. Wayne is not. So that's what we got to deal with here at the moment. All right. Let's take a quick little break. When we get back, we'll visit with everyone's not going to use that segue. We'll visit Brandon and Mary. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I was about to say, like, everyone's not favorite couple, but I was trying to think of, like, you know, camera always, I couldn't think of it. And then I was like, I just don't want to do this. So
I was wondering what the segue was.
No, I was trying to figure out, like, of like everyone's favorite blank. And as I was coming up with the blank, I was like, they're no one's favorite. So I'm not going to say that.
Everyone's favorite streamers.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. The streamer saying that would have taken me out. Okay. All right. So we visit them now, Jason. They have just gotten together in person for the first time. Brandon has landed in the Philippines and they kissed, obviously, at the airport. The little smoochies, they did a lot more smoochies in the car.
A lot of smoochies.
Sasha thought there was more going on in that car. I respectfully disagreed with her. But now we get to the grandparents. He's seen them for the first time. And grandpa says, hey, listen, so what else have y'all been up to when you first met up? And he obviously lies. Brandon says, yeah, no, we talked and then we talked with Romar and now we're here. So
he maneuvered it so expertly. He didn't say really much of anything specific. He's just like, oh, yeah, we got to the airport and then we came here. I felt like grandpa was testing him because I feel like Romar is a snitch. And Romar was like texting and sending video of all the hanky panky going on in the backseat. And grandpa was like, so what did y'all do when you met? I'm going to see if you're going to be truthful or not. And I feel like Brandon failed the test. And I feel like grandpa just got in the back of his mind like, oh, yeah, I got to watch this guy right here. I know he's a liar. I know he's trying to feel up on my granddaughter. I see you. I see you, Brandon. I see you.
Yeah. So Brandon tries to maneuver out of it. No problems seem to happen. So that's good. Although he does tell us a little too much about the tension between him and Mary. He mentions that, you know, we've been worked up for the last 2 years. You know, we've been doing all this stuff. We're talking about what we're going to do to each other when we get here. And, you know, it's kind of like talking about a wet dream almost. I was like, I did not need to know this.
Cringe factor cranked up to 12. I just, it makes me shudder.
It makes me shudder, but you know that the producers know exactly who they've cast. They're like, Brandon will say this stuff if we nudge him a little bit. And he did. So then later, Mary does tell us that she's warned Brandon about how living in the Philippines is going to be. You know, that there's a lot of ants, there's rats, there's cockroaches. And, you know, when it's raining, they tend to hide around. But then Brandon tells us in confessional, you know, I've lived in a trailer house. I lived in a shed in my grandparents' backyard. These aren't going to be any conditions that this is better than what I was.
Brandon has said, this ain't nothing. This is a lab of luxury, baby. I lived in some shit holes. Me, I would have walked in there. And when I would have saw that spider with all the eggs, I'd be like, nope.
That was a big spider.
And it had a sack of eggs on its ass. And I'd be like, nope, I'm good. I'm just gonna sleep. Like, I think I'd probably like sleep outside or something. Like the fact of knowing that these things are in the same room as me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, that's the thing. I'll give him this. He put his money where his mouth is, because he said that this is nothing that he's not used to. And he proved it, because he did not shudder. He did not flinch. He was fine. Even when they saw the gecko, he was fine. I very openly will tell you all lived very shelteredly, and animals kind of do scare me. In any form. Almost. So if I saw that gecko, good night, sleep. Forget. You know what? The grandparents still got to worry about me. There is no way I'm taking my eyes off of the ceiling and the roofing. Nothing's happening with granddaughter.
Staying awake all night. Can y'all just direct me to like a nearest hotel? Just like I love the house. The house is fantastic. I can't stay here for different reasons.
I would have been cold. Like, I would have had a very tough time with it for sure. So again, kudos to Brandon for not only knowing what he's to expect, but also firming it and having zero issues with it.
But do you think Brandon is willing to put up with these conditions? Because he's expecting certain things to happen. He's like, this is fine. I just got to get to the bedroom later tonight and things will be fine. It's all going to be worth it, because I'm going to get some, you know, I'll take a practice from my boy David on the other show.
I can hear your hands.
You put up with a lot.
Is it worth, like, that's the thing though, right? Is he putting up with all of that for, no, because I think
I think realistically he's fine. He's been in worse spaces. So I think he can live with this, but I also do think in the back of his mind, he's like, yeah, but I can do a little something as well. So I'm going to put with a lot to get to the reward later that night. But I do think overall he's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing that scares him the most is Grandpa's resting bitch face.
Resting bitch face. And did you think Grandpa had a resting bitch face? I was like, no. I don't know. He kind of looks like a nice old guy. I don't know. I thought he actually looked really good for probably what his age is, to be honest.
I was like, if you think this is that face, I don't know who else you've seen before, because you must have had some pretty pleasant interactions in your life.
I think he's just scared in general of grandpas or.
I think so. Because. Then he is told, you know, well, if you want us to stay in the same room together, you got to ask for permission, which he does. He says, can we spend the night in the same room? They said, sure, but you can't make love right now. You have to respect us.
No, thank you, Pinky. You know, kudos to Brandon for not being like, listen, I mean, I paid for this house. Like, this is technically my house. Like, I can kind of do whatever I want in my house. Y'all living here on my dime. Kudos for him not being the ugly American and doing some shit like that.
Yeah, the American that comes in and just kicks out the grandparents night one. Very happy that didn't happen.
I thought it was interesting that we found out that the grandparents weren't supposed to be there with them, but they got, like, you know,
typhoon.
Their house got, like, torn down by a typhoon, which I'm sure once Brandon heard that, he's like, damn it. Like, all throughout this episode, he's like, if only the grandparents were here, I could definitely manipulate her into doing some stuff she's not supposed to be doing. That's just the feeling I got from
her. Still tried it later, but before we get there, I want to talk about the food, Jason. Now, you know, we opened this podcast talking about your for lack of a better term, basic palate.
Yeah.
The food looked good, though. You got to admit.
That fried chicken, I was salivating that fried chicken. I was ready for that fried chicken for
sure. It looked so good.
It looked really good.
Yeah.
So that I would dip into for sure. Anything else, I'd be like, you got DoorDash here? Like, can I order from like a McDonald's and get it sent here? I don't know.
Oh my God. Jason, you would be the guy. You would be the guy go abroad and you're like, do they got McDonald's here? Okay.
Yeah, I got BK around.
Can I get, let me just get like an 8-piece with like, do you have sweet and sour? Perfect. Wait, are you sweet and sour guy? What sauce would you go with for nuggets?
Total aside. You're gonna make tons of fun of me, okay? But I take no sauce. I'm a naked nuggets guy.
I'm not mad at that. I enjoy the occasional dip. I don't, if everything needs dip, then it's not good enough on its own. Boom. Like,
you got it.
The case. Yeah. So I'm with you. When I get wings, whatever the flavoring of wings I've asked for, I don't need the blue cheese dip. I don't need the ranch. Get that out of here. Now, need that.
We're on the same level there. We're on the same level. See, that's what I'm talking about. You were simpatico in that.
Perfect. Okay.
If only you would ask me what kind of wings I like, then that would have been a better question.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll save that for.
You might not have shamed me.
Yeah, our leader Rob says here once, he doesn't like talking about food on a podcast. Yeah. I feel like we could talk about food all the time, but also in case anyone here is getting hungry, I don't want to do that to them. So we'll take off pod, but I will be asking your thoughts on wings later on. They end up getting the yes to go to bed together. So they do. They go to the bedroom and he does try. He says, listen, so what are the odds of like you maybe, being a little bit open to doing something tonight? Like, do you see your night changing? Potentially. I don't want to come off as rude. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to come off as rude, but do you see the night changing in any way now? And this felt like Akon when he said, when he had his chorus in Sexy Bitch. This is coming out like you're not getting what you think you're getting here. Stop it.
Now that we're here alone in this nice room here that I've paid.
Now that the gecko has stopped making noise.
Yo, okay. TLC, the Learning Channel, I'm with it because I had no idea what sound a gecko made.
I didn't know they made noise.
Now I know.
It's I thought reptiles were hell. Quiet.
Yeah, it's freaky as hell. I don't ever want to hear a gecko ever again. Get that Geico gecko out of my face. All he talked in a British accent.
Unless the gecko says 15%, I don't want it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was like, Brandon, it's bad enough that you got a face set for to catch a predator, but you could not be trying to persuade this young lady to go against her religion to really get her to betray her grandparents like that. You should know better, Brandon. You should know better. But I feel like Brandon has said several times, he is really pent up. It's been years on a phone. He's ready to get this thing done.
Right. And that's the biggest thing to me is I did like that, after she said, I don't think I'm ready. He's like, okay, I don't want to force you into anything. That's cool. Let's just go to bed. That's fine. He was still upset. He's like, well, I feel like, we should be on the same side and we should be like laying in bed next to each, like facing each other and cuddling and kissing. Cause they slept how they put the cheese down at Subway where.
No, like that was like, that was a sleeping arrangement. Like when you go to your cousin's house and you only got one bed to sleep in, you're like, all right, we're going to sleep head to toe. Across the bed. That was one of the funniest sequences I'd seen this week where she's like, all right, here's the deal. We want to sleep head to toe and you're going to face away from me so that we're not tempted to do anything. I was like, damn. And when Brandon says, I think I deserved, I said, okay, you're going too far now. When you say you deserve something, that's problematic behavior.
Yeah, it was, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. But I think Brandon's going to continue trying though. I do not think he's going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, I hope it's not like a Statler and Dempsey where it's like the next day is like, oh, well, I know she said we weren't going to, but we did.
I said we're not. And then here we are. We did it. It was cool. We did. It happened.
Stay strong, Mary. Stay strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then the next time on with them, we had. Okay. Actually, I can't just yada yada this. So she's feeding him food in the next time on. And then she says, I want to get Brandon chubby so that he'll be good for cuddles.
you know, with Mary's jealous ass, I was really thinking that the next words out of her mouth are going to be so like other women wouldn't look at him or something. Like, that's honestly what I thought she was going for. But it's like, to have better cuddles to make him bigger. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, like day one of the trial, I want to fatten him up for cuddles. Mary, y'all haven't cuddled yet. How about after a cuddle, you decide if there needs to be a little bit of adjustment here? What are you doing?
Well, you know, it's gonna take a while to get married. So by the time they get to the wedding, he'll be just fat enough that, you know, they can touch each other in the bedroom and they have good cuddles.
Right. So, okay, then let's skip on over to a couple that doesn't need introductions because we already know them, but this is the first time we're seeing them this season. Jason, are you excited to be here for the reintroduction of Danielle and Johan?
No, dude. I sighed the biggest sigh when I saw them back on my television screen. I was like, oh, why? Why are y'all back here? I thought we were done with this. It seemed pretty definitive the last time we left them that this was over.
It felt like that. They had us.
We're back. We need that. We need that 90 day paycheck to fund our lives in the DR. So we're back.
Yeah, you would have thought that they were done, but alas, you were wrong. So I'll just skip on over because literally the other way has not been gone for that long. Mm-hmm. Literally, we ended up being in a position where they seem to be done at the tell-all. However, they've gone to therapy and have started communicating and things have gotten a little bit better. They've both agreed to look forward and try and build on what's now, not the past. Yay for you. That's good. As far as the scenes with them, the new developments are they have a dog now, Gizmo the dog.
Oh, right.
Great, great name. Definitely modern name, Gizmo. Yeah.
And, you know, they went to therapy and through these scenes in this first episode, it almost makes me think it might have actually worked because there's no real argument here. Johan seems like he almost got like a lobotomy. Like he is so kind and nice throughout this whole episode. It was very odd for me.
Yeah, to me, it feels like, you know, I'm never going to trust them. So it's good now. Let's talk again. Episode 7.
I'm waiting for it to crash and burn. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, we'll find out because everything looked good. We do find out what's it called? We do find out that the butcher shop shut down because the landlord wanted the space back.
AKA we couldn't pay the rent. So the landlord evicted us.
Said, you got rent? No, get out. Oh, OK. I guess if you want the space so bad. Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah. Or Danielle like called some type of like you know, regulatory body to shut him down for the meats just being laid out in the bare air.
Right. Okay. So that's what we got there. We also see that Danielle's friends are visiting. They're going to be visiting them for the weekend from New York. So they come over. Even that conversation seemed very chill, very fine. We do learn that their big plan is they hope to open up a business together. They hope to have a children together, buy a house together. So I've got big dreams. And, you know, right now they're on a one income household situation where all the income's coming from Danielle and her online yoga / wellness class seminar thing.
Even though Johan, as she's describing that as they're in their little couple's confessional, could not understand what she was saying. She was still very like happy to be kind of putting in his face like, oh, yeah. You know, we're a one-income household. I'm the only one bringing in money. I just felt like it feels like she's holding it like over his head or something, that she is the one bringing in the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was interesting with her friends, how they were all about like, you know, coming in and taking Johan down a peg, like seeing through all this nonsense. But as soon as they get in the car, they're like, so Danielle, what's your daily routine like? She's like, oh, I don't know. I get up, feed the dog, and you know, we mess around to like noon and we decide
<You're> like noon.
Yeah, we decide whether or not we're gonna go to the beach or the pool for the day, and they immediately are like, no, that's bullshit, like that can't be real, that can't
they're
be
jealous
real.
They're jealous.
So jealous. And then they come inside the house and they see Johan like in person for the first time, and they immediately just melt. They're like, oh my god, Johan, like they hug him like really tightly, like, oh my god, you're so big. It's like all their defense is just totally melted
immediately.
They got in the house. It's like, oh my God, Johan, you're like my best friend. Like, they even say, like, he's so easy to talk to. Meanwhile, I'm like, Johan? That Johan? The Johan we all know who says like two or three words at a time. But when they met Johan, he seemed very personable. I was like, this is a surprising side of Johan we haven't really ever seen.
This is post-therapy Johan, potentially. Yeah. So the hope is that this is the actual Johan we have now. It's the actual Danielle we have now. And this isn't them putting on a facade for the friends. And then it's like all beef because I can't do with these two, please. But if it's like this, I'm not too mad at it. Keep it coming. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the friends that come to visit are women, I think everything is just fine.
That is true. There was no Talon here. If Talon comes over, I don't think he's getting the hugs and the smileys. I mean,
90 Day Fiancé producers just have to call Talon, right? They have to find some way to get Talon back in the DR. They can't just have Daniel
the chopper out for him the minute this dinner went pleasantly. They're like, this won't do. Get Talon on the call.
Yeah, this ain't going to work. We need some drama.
Yeah. All right. That's about all we got from them. Then the next time on, they're talking about potentially having two babies and that it's going to cost a lot for them to go through having a child, which we learned extensively in the last season with them. But we'll dive into that more so next week. Now let's go to Kenny and Armando, a very, very drama-free couple for the most part. Jason, arguably the most bit of drama we've had with them so far this season, this episode.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was going through like three quarters of this episode being like, you know, this isn't really like that big of an episode in terms of drama. And then we got to like the last quarter of the episode where a lot of the Kenny and Armando stuff took place. And this was really, really gripping and really interesting, you know, just personal work, you know, personal just feelings from Armando to his mother, which almost seemed like this was the first time he had been really expressing these feelings toward his mom.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened is they are meeting up with Armando's mom. And obviously one of the big, big obstacles of them considering moving to Mexico City is that he would be further away from his family. Aside from the city versus town living, he's going to be moving away from his family, further away from his family. So and also we opened this episode with Armando being a lot more open to moving to Mexico City now. So clearly it's worked a little. But mom is maybe the last big hurdle here.
Yeah, Armando's still hiding his money under the car mat, though. He's like, yeah, I still don't trust this shit. I need to hide my money so I don't get mugged out in the street. I was like, okay, Armando.
Yeah, Armando, again, very, very paranoid about the city living he is. But also, you know, we just talked about how Kirsten is not willing to live in America after Julio pointed out one thing. So, I allow him. I feel like if you're a small city, small town person, big city will be scary for you for sure. Whereas if you're big city, small towns make me scared a little, low key. It's all the way around for me.
Well, because yeah, in America, the small towns are really the ones you gotta watch out for sometimes.
I just feel like when it's like, especially when it's like, because I grew up I've been apartment living my whole life, like big city apartment, 10th floor, 8th floor, whatever. So when I'm in like a very quiet, like suburby area, sometimes I'm like, but like, if something happened, where am I running to? You know, like there's nowhere to run to. And I was like, that's terrifying. But also I'm never going to have to run from anything like 99% of the time anyway.
Yeah, those small suburbs. To worry about. Yeah, those small suburbs where like the serial killers live. Like that's the problem. Like they're so bored. They got a serial kill. That's where the real danger comes from.
Because of boredom. That's why.
Yeah, kind of. Nothing else to do but kill.
Okay, well, let me take your word for that one, because again, city living boy here.
Look up the most famous serial killers.
I don't want to. This is a crime scene. Who am I, Mari?
I'm on the wrong podcast.
Yeah. Like, ooh, let me find more. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to. I'll put my head. I want to hide from that reality. Okay. So Armando's mom is now visiting. This is a long. How long did they say the drive was to Mexico City?
5 days, because they said if we moved to Mexico City, it would take his family 5 days to get there. I said,
damn. Well, she flew in, yeah. So she got the shortcut, yeah.
But you can't be affording to fly in all the time.
So, can't fly, especially if they want to like see each other frequently. No. Yeah. I feel like at that point, when it's 5 days, you gotta basically do the midway point where each of you drive 2.5 days to get to the middle and hang out, and then drive back. Because otherwise,
that's a lot, bro.
If I'm driving 5 days there, 5 days back, I'm not staying for a weekend. I'm staying for a month. Yeah, that's a lot of days.
And even the 2.5 days thing, we got to like plan a family vacation to stay somewhere for like a week to make this 2.5 days worth it.
Right. So now his mom's there. He breaks. And this, we just had this happen with Julio telling his mom that he's moving. He tells Armando, tells his mom that they're thinking about moving to Mexico City. And this went worse than that. His mom had full on tears and talked about how, you know, you left me once before. Now you're leaving me again. Like, this is not fair to me. Yeah. Like, this is crushing me. And like you said, this is when Armando didn't respond the way I thought Armando was going to respond. Armando had a switch go off and felt like, this isn't fair that my mom is victimizing herself because I'm also getting blamed for leaving 6 years ago. And I left because I came out and got no love and support from either you or like none of you. I got no love back. I basically had to heal myself and leave and heal myself. So you can't use that against me, which I thought was a very powerful scene here.
Yeah, he dropped some truth bombs on mom, who is bringing out the full mom guilt mode. She's like, are you trying to make me suffer? Like, you know, you left once, saw me crying and didn't care. He's like, okay, like I cared. Like, don't say that. But yeah. And he's like, listen, I had to leave because he literally says, I had no other option. I felt like I was not wanted. I was not loved. He says, you never told me that it was okay to be myself. You never hugged me. There's no, I love yous. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, he came out and then went back in the closet because he got such a negative response. It was basically like, you know what? Never mind. I've changed my mind. I'm not gay because y'all are freaking out about this. And then had to come out again later to his family, which is like such a traumatizing experience, I would imagine, for someone trying to live like just as who they want to be. Mm-hmm. So you can't really blame him for leaving when you treat him that way. And then she tries to like justify it. I'm like, well, you know, us Mexicans, we're not used to that. It's like, no. It's not a nationality. It's not a cultural thing at that point. It's about loving your children and what you're willing to do outside of your cultural norms to love your children, which, you know, it was a very heart-wrenching scene for him to kind of just come all the way out and say those things to his mom, which I'm sure
wasn't easy.
Yeah, it's very hard for him, who's used to being, as he says earlier in the episode, like, you know, when you're not American, basically you live for your parents.
Right.
So I'm sure that's hard for him to come out and say those things to her, these hard truths that you probably needed to hear. And by the way, Armando's mom, I mean, what a glow up, right? I mean, she got the highlights in her hair. Like she's looking good.
Living her best life. Yeah.
Yeah. Living her best life out there in San Felipe. But yeah, she, you know, she needed to hear that because she was at that point, just really laying out the guilt trip to have him, you know, not live in Mexico City. And you know, Armando kind of came into this in not a great way. He kind of puts it on Kenny. He's like, yeah, Kenny wants to move to Mexico City, so yeah. You know, and he even says like, oh yeah, well, he's insisting, so we have to.
He's like, oh, this evil man took you away from us once, and I was gonna take you away again. Yeah.
And Kenny's just sitting there like, so how does she take it?
Yeah, he has no, he's sitting literally, they're at a dinner table. Armando is sitting facing his mom and Kenny's sitting next to the mom. And Kenny has no idea what's happening in this conversation because Kenny doesn't know the language. So Kenny's getting it all after the fact, but he's getting it and just watching these emotions fly out without knowing the words.
It's like, so she's happy for us, right? That's the tears.
There are these tears of joy? Right? Yeah. No? Oh.
And it's such an interesting scene, right? Because as Armando is laying all this out for his mother, you have Kenny, who has no idea what's going on at the moment. And you have Hannah, who can probably understand all of this. This is probably a very like nuanced.
I couldn't believe Hannah was sitting at the dinner table. I was like, why did she not get sent away to play with toys or something?
This is probably a very nuanced and complicated conversation for her to overhear. And so I thought that was just a very interesting dynamic that we had there at this little restaurant table.
Yeah, I also felt like, you know, like you said, to me, the whole we live to make our parents happy really resonated with me. It was a really powerful moment because I have felt that and I have seen that happen in my own world as well. And I've kind of had to come, you know, to understanding with myself of, am I being selfish for doing what I want? Am I being negligent to my family for, you know, deciding my own fate, deciding my own like things? And ultimately the answer was No, it's my life. Yeah. I spend the most time in the world with me. I got to be content with me. I got to be happy with me. I got to be the most me I can be. And that might include not being around my family or like living with my family, et cetera. So I fully understood what Armando was going through here as far as that part went with regards to, you know, the guilt trip. Because I've definitely have gotten the guilt trip before. It's very hard to overcome. Now, that being said, the part where Armando says I had to leave San Felipe to survive and her calling me out for this is triggering. That part was so touching and so heavy because I've never been in that situation before where I've had to literally leave just to, you know, maintain myself with all the stuff that's going on at home. Because I can't imagine being in a space like that where you were completely shunned by and unaccepted by your family to the point where you had to leave to heal and then come back and then rebuild the bridges and then kind of give them the benefit of not having to relive that. And by relive that, I mean not having to answer for the lack of love they showed. And now he's like, you know what? No, let's have this conversation now. You're trying to make me like the bad person. You're pretty bad for this one, Mom. You kind of left me to myself and that's not okay.
Yeah, and it really felt like kind of a like cathartic experience where he's letting all these things out. He's probably wanted to say so many times
for years,
but it's kind of let them just live their lives and not tell them how much they have affected him. Right. Because, mm-hmm. you know, only the other perfect thing would have been for his dad to have been there as well. Because, you know, from what we remember from that, that was a pretty like trying experience for him, you know, for the father as well. So, I mean, but just to have them like to give all this to the mom is so powerful. And like, you can tell like, the emotions he's feeling, he's trying to gather himself at moments. And so it was just a fantastic like moment to witness. And that really makes it feel like, you know, the reality in reality TV there, where a lot of these things in these shows are so like, you know, pumped up and all this stuff. This felt really real.
It felt really real. And like, you know, up until this point, we had joked about how Kenny and Armando don't really have drama. They're great. What are they doing on the show? I was very appreciative that this was all in the episode because I feel like there's definitely a learning experience here and an understanding that goes into their dynamics of not only their relationship, but Armando's relationship with his mom and the guilt and maybe giving us more of an insight as to why Armando up until this point has been very hesitant of considering leaving, considering moving to Mexico City.
Yeah, because even though he says all these things to his mom, it's still weighing on him that he's going to move further away from her. Even though he's saying these things to his mom, being real with his mom, in the back of his mind, he's still like, yeah, but I don't want to hurt her by moving further away from her. That is still a big consideration for him. And, you know, I will, like, give kudos to, you know, the Learning Channel and 9 Day Fiancé because it gives an insight into so many of these cultures because almost all the cultures we see on this show are like this, we live for our parents. We do what our parents want us to do. And as Armando says, like Americans, we have that, but we're able to push past that barrier a lot more easily than other cultures, it seems.
Yeah. No, I agree with that as well. So then on the next time on, we do see more of the conversation between Armando and his mom. And the feelings when he was coming out and everything. So we'll dip into that some more next week, some more good conversations to come, hopefully. And hopefully it goes smoothly. Because again, at the end of the day, I'm rooting for these two. I want them to be happy. I want mom to be happy. I want Hannah to be happy. I just want everyone to be happy here.
Yeah, I'm hoping that mom comes a little more understanding. And that's what we're going to see on the next episode. Hopefully.
Hopefully. All right. That leaves us with one last couple.
Ooh, we say the most toxic for last.
Oh my God. It was toxic from top to bottom. And I'm not talking about the unflushed toilet. It's TJ and Kimberly, who we left last week on the heels of a huge fight. It was night one of being in India for Kimberly. They go upstairs to see the apartment that TJ has been working on for them. And it's not completed. It's not the vision she had in mind. She brings the stuff up. He got mad because she said he was acting like a dick. And my God, did I not realize that's why he was mad? Because when it comes up in here, audience, the word dick really was the catalyst for the entire fight, pretty much. And it's the reason they didn't patch up by the end of the episode either.
Yeah, I mean, poor Kimberly gets reality smacked. She gets smacked with a dose of reality as soon. This is day one, y'all. This is hour three, basically, that she has arrived, you know, to Jaipur and gets smacked with the reality of what life will be like now if she decides to stay here and if she decides to get married to TJ. I don't think I've ever seen something devolve so fast in 90 day history.
It really has gone 0 to 200 to me here, because usually day one is the guaranteed it's good, right? Yeah. Even in the case of Brandon and Mary, it was good. They kissed, they were happy. They're going to bed. One of them might be a little worked up and expected a little bit more to happen on night one.
Yeah, worked up for sure.
Right. But they're fine. They're completely fine. This is day one, night one. They didn't end up sleeping together in that, you know, TJ slept downstairs on the shared space with his mom.
But TJ offered and said, you can come down here.
Yeah.
And TJ said, you can come here. Yes. With me, my mom, and my brother. Yeah. I understand that's how they do things there, but it's like, yeah. And for this American, like a very American person to be like, yeah, I'm good. That's why I had you make a whole ass apartment for me.
Well, so that's the thing.
I could avoid that.
And I feel like even if they were in a good place, maybe she would have said, I'm good. But
yeah,
they're in a bad, they haven't even healed from this fight. We do see TJ just downstairs yelling at his family that, you know, I did all these things and she's showing no, you know, appreciation. The brother's piping up a little too much for my liking. The brother says that he thinks Kimberly is wrong and that she has a big ego. This comes up a little bit more next week as well, based on the next time on.
Yeah, he says her mind is bullshit. I said, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He has a huge hate on Kimberly.
He already does.
I feel like it was probably even established before she even got here.
I think so. I think this is premeditated. I don't think this is all from just the one day's events. But TJ's downstairs doing probably the worst thing you could do when you are about to bring in a new member to your family. He's already muddying the waters.
And he's already turned his family against her. Like,
right.
He's done this himself. Within 3 hours, he's now turned his family against her. Even if you make up with her, your family is still going to look at her with disdain because all the crap you said about her in this moment.
In this, I mean, and now you're crying in front of your family and yeah. you're making it seem like she thinks you do nothing. She's done all the sacrifice. She expects too much. She's the princess. At one point he says, look at her behaving like a sheikh from Dubai. I was like, okay.
You know, yeah. They're doing the worst thing you can do here, which we see a lot, which is like a sacrifice off, right? Who has sacrificed the most? Is it me who sacrificed time and money or her who sacrificed her home in America, sacrificed Macy's her family and is now here alone? Who has sacrificed the most? Go. Like it's the whole episode devolved into a who's doing more, me or you type of deal.
Yeah, it's the sacrifice off, like the tit for tat, the scoreboard game in a marriage, in a relationship is not the one. It is never the one. You can't keep columns of, well, I did this one thing and you did these two things, so I should do one extra thing. No, it should always come from the heart. It should always just come from a good place. And that's what should matter. This is like if you gave someone a present and expected a certain reaction, like that you're doing on that other show when Riley's like, hey, why didn't she like the pearls I gave her? You can't have expectations on the present. You're given a present to show love. That's it. Period. Story's over. So yeah,
you know what's crazy here is they're both so wrong. Like yeah. I can't really even take anyone's side here because they both suck real bad.
Yeah, I just feel like it's ridiculous the way these two are going about it, because we all, you know, after the sacrifice off that he has the one-on-one combo with his brother basically tells him, no, you're doing the things you sacrificed. So you are the one that's done the most, not her. The next day, let's just skip over the next day. The next day, TJ wakes up and he says that, you know, if you have 30 days and out of the 30 days, you have 29 good days and one bad day. Are you going to let the 29 good days do the work or you're going to let the one day settle in and make the most problems?
Poor TJ. But just take another tally off those days, man, because you can only now hope for 28 good days because this is going to be a bad one.
Because in his head, he's like, oh, I'm just going to go upstairs and start the day fresh. It's a new day. Let's make this a good day, right?
Let
Leave
me tell
the
you,
bad day in the past.
I've tried this, and it almost never works.
If you didn't solve the bad day that night, it will continue into day two. Make no mistake.
I just really, really loved him just hopping on the bed as if nothing happened. He's like, hey, how are you? Like, I was dying laughing and just immediately let down when she has not let it go. He's like, oh, you're still on that shit. Okay.
Yeah. He was like, how are you? She said, not feeling good. Why? You said why. You thought with your big head there that why was the next appropriate thing to say. Like, you don't know what happened yesterday. So this devolves into more of the fight from yesterday. And, you know, he said, well, I feel like you're underestimating my efforts. And you're also, you know, you cussing me out. And she said, I never cussed you out. I said you were acting like a dick. He's like, that's not OK. You can't use that word. And she's like, what word? She's like, he's like, D-I-C-K, D-I-C, you can't use that. He was like, initially didn't want to say it back. And then she said, which I thought was egregious. Why? It's not that bad. It's like testicles. So do you want me to say testicles? Like, that is not testicles.
First of all, someone failed in anatomy. Okay. Like, that's problem number one.
Yeah.
Problem number two is just the childish way that she kind of went about this. Because listen, I don't know if I'd be as offended as TJ is by being called a dick, but it's still not a great thing to be called. And she's like, what? I didn't cuss at you. Like, it could have been worse. I could have cussed at you. It was like,
I could have called you an a-hole. Like, yeah, cool.
It's like, yeah, but you still called him a dick. Like, you were still being mean to him. Like, I don't think the fact that it's a cuss word or not is really what we should be calling into question here.
It's so funny to me because this felt like two children arguing. It really did.
100%. Especially with the, I didn't cuss. Like, the fact that you put, like, so much, like, you know, stake into whether or not you said an actual cuss word feels like a very childish thing to me.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, it's very clear that he doesn't do well with yelling. And when he says cuss, I think he more so means getting yelled at. And then what was the line he said about her being a woman that then she said, have the line?
Yeah, well, I think he's saying that she cannot use the word dick because she is a woman. That it's even more egregious because she's a woman.
Well, I think to me it felt like, you don't understand how sensitive I am to that word because you're talking about he said my object, which I'm assuming is manhood.
Yeah. I just got the feeling that it's like, oh, you're a woman. You shouldn't be saying words like that. Like, that's almost the feeling I got as well, that like he thinks in his mind and maybe in their culture that like women should not speak that way. Like, that is a nasty term to use, especially if you are a woman. I feel like if he said it with his buddies, like
it's called one of his
buddies dick, it's fine. But if she says it towards him, it's definitely a problem.
Yeah.
And then he throws the word bastard at her. I'm like, oh, like, I was almost as like gobsmacked as she was. Like, you just called me a bastard. How is it any better?
Well, right. And then when she heard him say all this, she said, oh, so now you're using my gender against me? Your entire culture is sexist. I was like, wow. Okay.
You realize you just moved here to be part of that culture. You
it's not sexist. Understand that? You're all sexist. Like, oh God, where are we going with this?
It was all the bad things that you've ever seen a 90 Day Fiance couple do. They managed to get into this, like, into this episode. It was so terrible.
What's so, so wild to me is that when this season started and we first got our look at TJ and Kimberly, my clown ass got on the podcast and I said, look, we have a couple. One is from India and they got the blessings to do the love marriage and they're looking good and everything's looking nice.
Jenny and Sumit and Jen and Rishi are looking at them like, what the hell are y'all doing? Y'all got everything you could ever want and you're ruining it. You're taking it and throwing it in the trash. This is all Jen and Rishi and Jenny and Sumit.
That's all they wanted was the approval. And they right. got these two got it and are now fumbling it.
Yeah, you are trashing this thing that we all covet and want, a supportive and accepting family, mostly except for his brother, apparently. That's all these people want. You're just taking it and throwing it away. It's crazy. And she apparently both knows and doesn't know what she's getting herself into by moving here into this culture.
Absolutely has no idea what she signed up for. And I think that was the biggest indicator to me, is that you, the two of you, have these lofty expectations for each other, where Kimberly has an expectation that she's going to come here and she's not going to have any, there's going to be no impact to her living here. There's not going to be any cultural issues to her living here. Nothing. TJ has the expectation that she's going to come here and adapt to the culture completely.
Yeah. It's like, you're treating me differently because I'm a woman. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like what we do here, like, in a way, right? Like, there are certain cultural, like, norms that people are expected to adhere to here. And it's as if she has no knowledge of that whatsoever.
No, the absolutely zero knowledge. It's messy. And I mean, obviously, I have said this in the previous episodes where I felt like TJ has not told her enough about what to expect.
She's someone that has been there, though. She has stayed with him in his, like,
she
in
at least
that
has area. Some understanding of it.
Yeah, she
and
should.
I think in her head, she thought, if we get this apartment the exact way I want it, I don't have to go downstairs as much. I don't have to. Yeah. I can just stay in our spot.
I think she wanted to move some America to India and just stay in that America bubble that she wanted that apartment to be. And she wouldn't have to deal with anything else from the outside world, which is just such a naive way to think and live.
It really is. And I 100% agree with that as well. Now, they end up fighting some more because she does tell us, she tells us earlier that, you know, the toilet doesn't flush. I got bit by mosquitoes. It was cold up here, like the sleeping spot side of things. She's like, you, like, I'm not saying that I have an issue. Like, you didn't try, but then there's stuff here that I need that you didn't bring. Like, I don't have toilet paper up here right now. And she kept saying that she wants him to acknowledge that he hurt her, but she's doing it in the worst way. But she keeps yelling at him about
She's throwing a tantrum about it, basically. Like, she's like a 5-year-old that didn't get what they wanted. So they're yelling and screaming. I just want you to acknowledge you hurt me. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't think this is the way to really express your feelings, man. I think maybe we need to calm down.
Please. And thank you. That's about all we got here, though. Jason.
Yeah, it was a lot.
On the next time on, she's gonna fight with his brother, and the brother's gonna say that she's showing stupidity, and Kimberly's gonna be like, do not call me stupid. I was like, God, you this isn't gonna last.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, are they gonna make it to the wedding? Because the wedding's supposed to be next week. Like, what is gonna happen here? Are they just gonna keep going through this cycle of toxicness throughout for their whole life? Are they gonna get married?
I do not need a 8-ball to tell me that probably it's not going to happen. A magic 8-ball is not necessary here.
Okay. I'm actually going to bet against you, and I'm going to say that they are going to get married within this next week.
Within the next week?
They're supposed to be married within a week. She said that. Like,
You mean like timeline wise, not episode wise?
No. Not. Okay. They're not going to get married next Sunday. They're going to get married like in their time, within the time they're supposed to, within a week.
Well, we shall see, Jason.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the fact that they both probably love mess and love toxicity. So I think they're going to end up married.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Jason, thank you so much for coming on with us this week. I hope you enjoyed talking about this batch of couples as opposed to the other. And we're looking forward to having you on at the next time for sure. But for now, let the people know, where can they find you? What other things do you have going on?
You can find me on whatever we're calling it this week, Twitter, X, what the heck ever, at JAYR1085. As far as podcasts go, you can find me over on Post Show Recaps talking about a couple shows. We just wrapped up the mess that is Secret Invasion, me and Saucer Joseph over on Post Show Recaps. Also wrapping up the show Hijack this week with Marissa Garza over on Post Show Recaps. And me and Sasha are going to be picking up a new show called Special Ops Lioness this week. So you can check all of that out over on Post Show Recaps here on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. Usually you can find me on the podcast A Perfect Match talking about Married at First Sight. We are on hiatus right now. So those are all the places you can check me out at.
Thank you so much for that, Jason. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I'm going to be when I'm not on here. Check me out. Would appreciate it. And last but not least, Big Brother season is officially here. And I am not only going to be on the draft doing my best to pick up a crown on the Big Brother side of things. But also with the live feeds coming back, you know I'm going to be there Friday mornings to talk all about the events of Thursday on the live feeds. So that should be a good time as well. That's all available on this very network here, of course. And last but not least, thank you so much to everybody who's been leaving 5-star reviews for this podcast. I do appreciate it. It does help people find the podcast and it does give me feedback. So thank you so much. If you would like to leave a rating and review, you can do so over on robswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, number 0, day fiance. We hope you had fun here. We have arrived at the destination. Looking forward to seeing you next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.